AdNews Innovation 6 podcasts are a series of interviews in which we ask thought leaders and innovators at the forefront of the marketing and communication industries 6 key questions. In this series, we examine the impact of Internet Protocol TV in Australia and explore how this technology will provide a range of new digital marketing opportunities to target consumers like never before.
Welcome to AdNews Innovation 6 podcasts. I'm Peter Stevenson from On Communications. Now, before we kick off things today, I'd just like to say thank you to everyone out there. It's been amazing. Series 1 has been quite an incredible success. We've had a lot of positive feedback from all over Australia and from overseas. Now, today, we're talking with Paul Berta. Paul is Managing Director of Bertacom, which is a leading telecommunications consultancy that keeps a lot of companies in the Asia-Pacific region up to date on technology and where the future's heading. Welcome to Six Questions, Paul.
My pleasure, Peter.
We're here today, Paul, to talk about Internet Protocol Television and the exciting new opportunities it provides for marketers and advertisers. What we thought we might do is just set the scene today and ask you to explain what is Internet Protocol Television all about?
I think, Peter, that first of all, it's a misnomer. Immediately people will think, oh, this is television on your IP/PC. One would ask, why on earth would I have my channel 7, 9, and 10 on my PC? I've got it on my television, and some of us have plasma screens, so why should I bother to look at it on the PC? So it really is a misnomer, because this has nothing to do with the traditional television. But unfortunately, people quickly want to put it into a particular format that they understand. But what it's all about is that if we look at our communications activities nowadays, then the missing element is interactive video. We can talk to each other over the phone. We can iPod, as we are doing now. But, there's no video element in it. And also that applies for lots of entertainment. You can watch television, but you cannot really participate in it. And that's what IPTV is going to do. It's going to create this video element to communication. And of the content, 75% of the content of IPTV will actually be made by us. We will communicate with each other. We will have consultants activities. We will make our own Big Brother shows or travel shows or, video things on the net. We will communicate with friends and families across the country and across the oceans. So that's what it's all about. Apart from that, of course, niche products, there will be things that are not economically viable on television, that might go to niche television. And, there's no doubt about it that News Limited and 7 and 9 will also dabble into that. But, in the overall scheme, that will be a minor part of what IPTV is all about.
Okay, Paul, so what's screaming through there is the word participation. Just so I get this clear in my head, Internet Protocol Television will deliver television via a set-top box to my TV in the lounge room?
Yeah, I think, once again, I prefer to use the word video and even prefer video communication to clearly indicate the interactive part of it. And yes, it will be, it come to your server, into your house. But, the modern setup of home networks and media centers will be that the server will be somewhere central in the house, in the study, or even in the electricity cupboard or whatever. And from there, it will feed to a home network, to your television screen, to your PCs, to your alarm system, to your telephone system. So from the server, all of this will be fed. So at a certain stage, somebody can watch, go onto the IPTV, go onto broadband, and select a particular bit of video that they want to have a look at. And at the same time, somebody else might make a telephone call in the study, or somebody else might do some PC work in the bedroom. But that's still, 2-3 years away from us.
What's on the immediate horizon for us in Australia?
On the immediate horizon, it will be that broadband will be beefed up. We are now on a very low level of broadband, 256, 512K. The rest of the world is moving up, to 6, 8, 10, and Japan, 100 megabits, in Korea, 50 megabits. So we are way behind, and you do need this broadband to actually do video-based communication. So hopefully in the next few months, we will start seeing Telstra making a move and creates a better quality broadband that would allow for video-based communication. And then they will bundle that, what's called the triple play model, over the one telephone line, over the one connection line, one broadband line. You then get a possibility of bundling your telephone, which will then be based on VoIP, the internet telephony, IPTV and video-based communication and this high-speed broadband. And that gives us, first of all, access to all of this. And that will, on the Internet are already something like 200,000 video sites. So there's plenty of information already, video-based information already available.
Who will be the main players in the Australian market?
From an infrastructure point of view, Telstra, of course, will be the major player. You know, they've got the national network, and they will have to make sure that all of us have access to that. But separately, there will be regional players. The utilities are putting broadband networks in place. There is, you know, some of the ISPs are creating these DSLAMs. They have their own sub-network, then a link to the Telstra network. So that there's a lot of infrastructure, of course, is required before you can actually have access to it. Then on the access side, I don't think it will be the telcos that are going to dominate that that market. It will be people who produce content, and that, once again, for 75% will be us, but then the rest it will be the typical people that are now providing content, and that are, you know, the media companies, publishers, that are advertisers, but also, you know, education, healthcare applications will fit into that category.
This is opening up a completely new world. Obviously, it's changing people's interaction with media and how they personalise content. This is really ultimately going to change the media landscape even further, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. You know, we need to get rid of, as soon as possible, of the vertical integrated telcos, you know, where they try to be the all end to everything. You have to be either an infrastructure provider and then let as many content providers as possible utilize the network and let the customer sort out what they want and don't want. You cannot just force that into a telephone package or whatever. That absolutely doesn't make sense. So what you need is that Telstra need to concentrate on infrastructure, and it needs to open up its network that anybody who has good content, you know, can actually provide it over the network. And, of course, Telstra can charge for that. And there will be data centers and data hosting and managed solutions and billing and outsourcing. There will be plenty of opportunities for the telcos to be involved in that. But in the end, the content will be produced by content providers and not by telcos.
Okay, we're reading in the States at the moment, they're talking about what they call a two-tier network. They're saying that there will be an explosion of video content when this happens. Do you see that happening in Australia, where we'll have a video fast lane type network and a data slow lane network, or where do you see it heading?
Yeah, I think it's called network neutrality. In the end, of course, you know, there will be freeways and highways and pothole tracks and all that will be on the Internet. There's no doubt about that. It's not the one size fit all. But I think at the same time that, you know, if you look at companies like Google and Yahoo and MSN, they are really servicing the very, very broad consumer market around the world. And they don't want to be relegated to a second-class network. So I think that competition is going to sort this out.
Paul, just to move on, let's talk about the value proposition for the consumers, or, as I love to say, let's talk about what's in it for my mum. What's the viewer experience in a house going to be like? I mean, how will it be packaged and what will it cost them?
I think, Peter, what your mum will do, there are lots of things. I think, first of all, and that will be high on the list, I'm pretty sure that she wants to be in video contact with you, Peter, and she wants to keep an eye on what you're doing, and if if your hair is nicely combed and you're wearing the right clothes. So
not on Sunday morning, she doesn't.
Video contact with you. No, but, you know, it will definitely be something that that allows family to stay in touch. If you already look what the Internet is doing in family blogs and family pictures, and, you know, I mean, it has made lifestyle for people so much nicer, where people can keep track on what brothers and sisters and nieces and nephews are doing and babies are doing and what you do on holidays. So that will be the major sort of driver behind it, you know, keeping in touch in a video contact with family and friends. But also, you know, your mum can, while she's cooking dinner, you know, she can actually say, hey, you know, I want to talk to this particular chef. I've got a problem here. And she clicks on and has live contact with the chef on the other side, who professionally tells her, if you use this ingredient, if you do this, then you can create this sort of situation. Doctors and medical services will be huge. In the Netherlands, there's a program where the aged people, with a simple press on the button, have video contact with a nurse in a call center. And the nurse can actually do some basic tests with blood tests and heartbeat, which are linked to broadband, by the way. and then actually can connect the patient or the person either to a doctor or to family and friends to you to have a chat if they feel lonely or whatever. So you really see lots of that sort of applications, personal coaching and exercise, a dietary, yoga, spiritual. I mean, lots and lots of these services and facilities will be used by people. Now, what it will cost, basically, you know, I don't think you'll start paying a lot more for what you're now paying for your combined telecommunications and media expenses. You know, people will spend, you know, a couple of $1,000s a year on telephone and pay television and films and videos and things like that. I think that will be roughly the same. You know, it will be very similar to magazines and television, that part of it will be financed through advertising.
And let's talk about addressable advertising and other benefits that you believe will be presented to marketers out of this technology.
Yeah, I think in general terms we don't mind advertising. What we do mind is that it's a waste of time, because 90% of the stuff is absolutely no use to me whatsoever. The 10% that I'm interested in, I'm more than happy to look at. And also, when it has entertainment value, I might have a look at it. Now, what this allows you to do, the advertisers allow you to actually have personal contact with you. Yeah, what's called permission-based marketing. You can actually select a number of companies that you would like to stay in contact with, because in your opinion, they provide good services, or they provide interesting things to you. Now, that could be simply be Coles Meyer presenting you with recipes or a shopping list, and on the other side, it could be your dealer giving you an virtual drive in a new car. I mean, all of these things will be possible. So what you will see, we're going away from the one-size-fit-all 30-second television spot or newspaper advertisement to a very interactive way of advertising. And once again, if you don't like it, you say, I'm in charge. I don't want to talk to you anymore. So it's not like television, etc., where you can switch it off. But, I mean, that's a hassle. In this situation, you even don't receive it. Yeah? So there's lots of opportunities for those companies who understand the new features of this new development, and they will have a very creative, very innovative use of advertising and media messages to us.
Really, what this is the continuation of a trend where consumers are controlling the interaction on their own terms.
What
you're talking about,
democratization process, yeah.
Yeah, and what you're talking about is a value-based relationship where marketers and companies will need to basically earn the right to communicate and market to consumers in the future.
That's absolutely true, and that's what's so exciting about it, you know, that we are in charge. We can choose what we want. If you want to watch Oprah tonight, we watch Oprah. You know, if you want to sit down and veg out and watch a soapy, we watch a soapy, yeah? But it's us in charge, and if it's 7 o'clock or 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock or 3 o'clock in the night, we indicate when the time is, what we want to see, what we want to do, and that's a huge change to the current sort of way where Channel 7, 9, and 10 dictate when and what we can see.
It's a new model. Addressable advertising, Paul, where's that going to, what role will that play in the future?
I think that will be the norm rather than the exception, you know, but
yep.
Once again, it's based on us giving the advertisers access to that, and obviously, you know, we always, I think most people accept that if you want to see a movie free of charge on free TV, you know, then obviously you have to sit down and watch some advertising. If you don't want to do it, you know, you buy yourself a video. Yeah, so, I mean, these options will always be there, but, you know, the addressable advertising is going to be a big deal. Now, we will have to learn how to do that. There will be cowboys who are misusing it, yeah, and are going to, you know, interfere with our private lives. And, you know, there will be big cases and big articles, etc., and everybody will be upset, and the government needs to ban it, etc. But in the end, I think we will learn. It's a learning process for everybody involved. And the earlier we start, the better it is. And Australia is running behind, and that is a pity. You know, other countries in Korea, Japan, the Netherlands, Sweden, France, they are far ahead of us in this, you know, 3-4 years ahead of us. And that's a bit of a pity, because everybody here in Australia, advertisers and companies and users, also have to learn what it's all about.
So in terms of the reality, I mean, I know you always look past the hype and tell it like it is. When do you believe that IPTV will crank up in Australia, and when will it actually start to become something that marketers and advertisers can work with?
by the middle of 2007 and towards 2008, I think we will get the first 500,000, 1 million people looking at these sort of new models.
Thank you, Paul. It's been great to understand where it's going and how it's going to roll out and the potential that it will provide. It's quite exciting. Okay, for all you knowledge hounds out there, Paul and his team at Berticom have kindly put up a couple of web reports. These are up for grabs on adnews.com.au. They'll help you keep up with the future. So if you want to know where it's all heading in terms of the technology in the future, get online now and have a shot at winning this prize. Thanks, Paul. It's been good to talk to you again today. We really appreciate your insights.
Yeah, I think it was very exciting, Peter, to talk to you and your listeners. So, let's keep in touch and let's keep the door open to all these new things that are happening in front of us.
I'm sure there's more things we can talk about in the future.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Paul.
Bye.
Okay, we had a great response to the prizes up for grabs from Series 1. Firstly, congratulations go to Richard Boland from V8 Supercars Australia, who won the much sought after Boonie figurine, a real collector's item that one. And well done to Richard Fox from Zuji, who cracked the Carn Lions online archive pass. Good on you, Richard.
This AdNews Innovation 6 podcast is an initiative from Advertising News, On Communications and Stellar Sound. AdNews is Australia's top-selling advertising, marketing and media magazine.